The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
from the Revelation to St. John, the 22nd chapter. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the Easter Responsory on page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day.
Give to the Lord all glory.
and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And to the Holy Spirit.
Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So did you happen to catch what Jesus is doing in this reading? Were you paying attention to these words of our Lord? Because the Gospel of John is here revealing to us a prayer that Jesus is giving to his Father in heaven, revealing his desire that all would come to faith in him and in turn be brought into that glory that Christ shares with his Father in heaven. And it's important to pay attention to these words of Jesus here when he says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. This one little sentence is speaking volumes about the ministry of Jesus here for us poor sinners. Because the world does not know God. Christ knows God. If you want to know God, well then I guess you better know Christ. The only way that we can know God's glory is by knowing the truth about Jesus and the word that proclaims that he is God. He comes to the unbelieving world not in his wrath, but in humbleness, mercy, and love to save us from the wrath to come. So it's important for us to note that in this reading, this section, it concludes the final section of Jesus' prayer here in John 17, where he is praying for those who will believe in him through the word of the apostles. And the word of the apostles is, of course, the word of Christ. Christ has given his word of promise to the church in order for us to go forth, to make disciples of all nations. And it's for these future disciples that our Lord now prays. And that's you and me. Jesus has the favor with God the Father. Jesus seeks to bring us this favor, and he prays that the world would come to know him. Because without such faith in Jesus, the world will never know God the Father or his glory, except in his wrath. Everything that Christ is doing, everything that Christ has worked and done, has been for the benefit of you and me. It has been for the sinners of the world. So when we hear the words of this text, we should know that Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for our unified faith in the Christian church, and it's from his example that we also are reminded of the great value and benefit of prayer. Because prayer is a necessary tool of our faith, as it's a valuable treasure that Christ has won with his own blood. Christ has established that connection between you and God the Father,
So let your faith be the reason that you continue to pray, praying to your Father in heaven for the Christian church, and also for those who have not yet come to the faith that the Holy Spirit can give. In the words of Jesus, needless to say, they stand apart from time. Jesus is not just speaking in a temporary sense in this prayer, but in an eternal one. And as we celebrated the ascension of our Lord, we were reminded that Jesus would return in the same way that he had departed. It was this proclamation that had caused the disciples to return to Jerusalem in joy, to tell others about what they had seen, to repeat what had been declared to them. They were joyful. They could be joyful because they knew that God remained with them by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus promised that he would be with us until the end of the age. And the faithful understand how this particular covenant continues to be kept. God's people knows how he remains with us in word and sacrament, because it's in these gifts that we find the very lifeblood of the church, the Holy Spirit actively working through these means to bring the love of God into the unbelieving world. And it's important to recognize that on the outside, the Christian faith does not seem to be very well understood. And this is why now, more than ever, our unified confession as a church is so important. This is also an example of where our ancient creeds become a benefit to us. They continue to offer a clear, unified voice for the invisible church, stating exactly how we know God and who we know God to be in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Trinity shares unity, those who believe God's word and confess it in unity share a similar fellowship with the fellow believers who are united in God. If we were to rid ourselves of any kind of form of unified confession and join into the creed, the chorus of deeds before creeds, or we put ourselves in charge of forgetting the very foundational truths of Jesus, we need to remind ourselves constantly the basics of who Jesus is and who he proclaims to be, hearing what he's proclaimed to us, that he has done for us to save us, to bring us into the glory of God. We cannot forget the very foundational truths of our faith. And I say this because it seems that today we're forgetting the basics of our catechism faster than we learn it. So do we really trust ourselves to go and define the Christian faith in our own words? I mean, we're constantly finding distractions in the world around us. So it's important that we stick together in our confession. This confession of God and his word. Because when we do, we stand a better chance of not destroying our faith on our own before the devil even gets the chance to try. So when we continue proclaiming these creeds together that confess the scripture alone, and when we are reading our catechisms, when we're studying our Bibles, we are helping ourselves to remain equipped for the battles ahead. And going back to this prayer of Jesus, it's here that he prays in full knowledge that he is going to the cross. And he goes to the cross to win this war. But he petitions God for the sake of us and for our past, present, and future conflicts with the devil, the world, and of course, our own sinful flesh. If we can learn to grow from our worship that centers on the true historical faith revealed in the scriptures, we will also be much less likely to sell out to this world. We'd be much less likely to turn worship into some form of entertainment that does nothing to nourish our souls. Our unity in a proper confession of the scriptures will serve as a powerful witness to this unbelieving world and also to each other. But we must understand that because of our steadfast confession, we will also expect a brutal persecution, because this confession will be the bone that the devil has to pick with you. Faith in Christ's resurrection teaches us, however, to fear not, like the disciples, our joy in hearing the good news, the proclamations of the Son of God, will far and should far outweigh the cares and worries that this world brings to us, as well as the fear we have of our adversary, and especially the fear we have of death. Because Christ's ascension into heaven completes a perfect image of victory. Christ's victory over death. This vivid reminder is to show us that Christ has truly overcome the world when he ascends into heaven, as he now dwells at the right hand of God, reigning with all authority on heaven and earth. This is the image, the ultimate image of victory that Christ has already won for us. Too many people seem to be overly concerned these days about the worldly authorities, and not concerned enough about that authority that has the power to forgive sins. This, of course, is the authority of the cross, for the glory of God was revealed to all. And without our eyes fixed on this cross of Christ crucified, we cannot keep our eyes fixed on a true image of love that can unify broken sinners and make them into a new creation. Jesus is leading the way in his ascension for the children of God. He's calling us to repentance so that we can find his grace, be set free from sin, and go forth to make known the love of God to others. And like Christ, we know that inevitably we will suffer death. But we also know that by the glory of the Father, we too are going to be raised to a new life, that we will be brought into the everlasting kingdom that Christ had established in his death and in his resurrection, and now proven to us in the ascension. So when you confess with us together in solidarity and faith in Christ's word and sacrament, your individual duties and your responsibilities in this life gain tremendous importance as a unique voice of our faith. And of course, these are your vocations. You know I'm not going to preach a sermon without talking about vocation. These are your vocations by which you make known to your neighbor glory that Christ has established in his death and in his resurrection. This is where we teach our neighbor of Christ's glory on the cross, crucified for the transgressions of the world, so that the neighbor may look forward to that glory to be revealed before all eyes on the last day. If that is the hope that we have, that is the hope that we hope to share. Because in the midst of all the chaos of our world, some ears will be open to hear what you have to say, and your Father in heaven will certainly reward you greatly for your confession. This is why we don't fear the rejection by those who we should seek to help, because just as the Holy Spirit ceaselessly is directing us back to Christ on the cross without regard to his own fame, we also should be ceaselessly looking for opportunities to reveal the joy that comes to penitent hearts by the grace that Christ has revealed to us. When we heard this conclusion to the book of Revelation here in chapter 22, as the prophecy concludes with this beautiful, final, triumphant image of the new Jerusalem that has descended from heaven for the people of God, that we are told about the work of the Spirit and the reaction of true faith. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. The Spirit has called you to come to the Bride of Christ, the Christian Church, which continues to use your voice to call others who thirst for the gospel to come to find their satisfaction here as well. And of course, as we are now on this topic of the importance of our vocations, it would be a disservice if I didn't mention and draw attention to the fact that today is Mother's Day. I say this because mothers possess a calling that can hardly be matched by any other, as this is a calling that goes back to the beginning of creation and continues even now and into the future as a true imitation of love, that sacrificial love. The love, this imitates the love of Christ. Motherhood should be a cherished thing, and children should be cherishing their mothers who have given them their lives, nurtured them, and raised them to know the gospel of Christ. Motherhood grants to a woman the greatest privilege in all of Christendom because she continues giving life to God's creation. And I found some words of Luther on this matter very interesting. He makes this observation about how the world despises the joys, the very hidden joys of parenthood, while the faithful hearts can begin to see it as a privilege, as a gift pleasing to God. He says, "Now observe, when that clever harlot, our natural reason, takes a look at married life, she turns up her nose and says, 'Alas, must I rock the baby, wash its diapers, make its bed, smell its stench, stay up nights with it, take care of it when it cries, heal its rashes and its sores?' Well, then what then does the Christian faith say to this? It opens its eyes, looks upon all these insignificant, distasteful, and despised duties in the Spirit, and is aware that they are all adorned with divine approval, as with the costliest gold and jewels." So we too should look at this wonderful vocation from the perspective of our faith. We should learn to treasure this gift of our mothers, to whom God has given the authority to bring us into His eternal creation. And Christians should continually pray for all mothers who always need patience, caring, and love to minister to their children in the ways that God intended. And women who have children and raise them to know the love of Christ are in fact making disciples of all nations, filling the kingdom of heaven. So we thank God for this divine ministry of the motherhood. So dear friends, in conclusion, going back to Jesus' prayer, He offers this prayer to His Father in heaven just before He is betrayed. He's not praying just for His disciples who are there listening to Him, but also for the future disciples, you and me, who will be forced to endure some kind or another of tribulation in this world. He petitions God the Father. We see Christ's earnest desire for the world to know the truth about Him in order for them to become one with the Father and His glory on the last day. Here, we are also reminded and called to pray for one another as Christians in the fellowship of the Christian church. So we should pray for one another. We should pray for strength from God. And we should continually pray, because that is like breathing is for our bodies. That praying is important for the life of faith. And today, as we celebrate our mothers who have given us life, we celebrate motherhood as a special ministry and a vocation, because mothers have an immeasurable influence on their children, and those who raise their children in the Christian faith, devoting their efforts to making these children citizens of God's kingdom, are serving in a privileged position of authority given by the Lord Himself. So Christians should recognize the value that God has placed on this and every other vocation, and give thanks to Him for the fellowship of His servants and the Christian church, who do their crucial work that He has given them to do, and with a unified confession of Christ, resurrected for the sins of the world, we stand together against all assaults by the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. May God continue to grant us strength in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We now sing our faith in the Te Deum, which begins on page 223. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
continues on page 227. We stand to sing the Kyrie.
Africa.
Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.